We finally get an opportunity to chat with Tim Graham of the Buffalo News. He joins us on the Metro PCS Hotline. Tim, how have you been?
I've been doing all right. How are things down there?
They're nice. They're lovely down here. Such a quirky schedule for the Dolphins within the division this year. They finish with the Jets by before the midway point of the season, yet to see Buffalo, yet to see New England. So four games with those two teams late in the year here. Let's start with the Bills quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Last year when he got the extension, you came on with us, and you did a tremendous job of making sense of it, because from the outside, we didn't really understand why they would be giving him that kind of money and that kind of commitment. You explained it very well. Here we are about 12 months later, and the GM is talking about needing to find a franchise quarterback. What's going on with all of this?
I think both situations really jibe, actually. The Bills were painted into a bit of a corner when they had to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. They'd gotten off to a really good start and had playoff aspirations, and they looked legitimate. It wasn't like crazy, silly talk. They'd knocked off the New England Patriots, and they had beaten Kansas City Chiefs, who were coming off a playoff season. And I'm racking my brain, but there was, the Eagles. They'd also beat the Philadelphia Eagles, who every year come in as a contender for the Super Bowl. And so everybody was feeling good, and Ryan Fitzpatrick here, he's the quarterback and very heroic, turning into a bit of a folk hero here, very popular. And the Bills were thinking, look, we're going to make the playoffs here. We could make the playoffs. We have a quarterback who's in the final year of his contract, and we're not going to have a good enough draft slot to draft a quarterback. So we better sign this guy rather than risk getting to free agency and having to pay an even more exorbitant sum to keep him. So they signed him, they locked him up during the season, and the numbers sounded outrageous, but averaged out over the length of the contract. It's average money, but I think it was 16th at the time in the NFL among starting quarterbacks, and that seemed to be about right. And, well, he hasn't really taken the next step. He hasn't played to the level that he started last season at. He regressed, and a lot of people pointed towards a possible rib injury at the end of last season, and people thought, boy, he's going to be healthy. He'll be back to that guy that we saw through the first half of 2011, but he hasn't looked that way. He's been okay. He's been mediocre. He hasn't been disastrous, but he's also not very inspiring in terms of where you look for the future and where this team needs to take the next step. It's thrown a lot of parts together that are good. A lot of the infrastructure positions like left tackle and cornerback and all across the offensive line, actually, they have good running backs. But now they need the quarterback. And much like the Dolphins and their fans have been dealing over the years, also having some good pieces but no quarterback to draw them all together, and you see what a Ryan Tannehill can do in terms of giving people some hope. And I think the Bills are about ready for that stage of their franchise.
Fair enough. Chan Gailey said something earlier in the week about how Fitzpatrick has played well, but the mistakes are what people seem to be noticing or seem to be remembering when they look back at a game. Is that kind of a fair way to put it?
Yeah, they're costly. I mean, they come at bad times. They should have beaten the Tennessee Titans a couple of weeks ago, and he throws a silly interception with the lead and allows the Titans to score on a fourth down play. Now, that's on the defense, I think. It was fourth down from the 15-yard line in the final seconds, and Matt Hasselbeck completes a pass in the end zone to win the game. Now, that's not Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault that they give up the touchdown, but he threw an interception two drives earlier that that allowed prevented the Bills from flipping the field in that situation and taking time off the clock and all that stuff. And then he throws the interception in the end zone against New England, and, everybody's trying to fall on their sword, which I guess is, admirable. The rookie receiver, T.J. Graham, says it was his fault he ran the wrong route. Chan Gailey's saying it's his fault he called the wrong play. And so it's, you can justify, if you're a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, and believe me, there are fewer and fewer of them every week here in Western New York, but if there are a lot of people, though, still out there who look at him and can justify he's okay, but okay doesn't sell tickets, and okay doesn't get you to the playoffs.
And Tim, on the other side of the football, okay doesn't win any games either, because it seems like the defense, for all the money that was spent, everybody wants to talk about Mario Williams and his injury, but it just seems like teams have been able to score points in bunches against a defense that, coming into the year, felt like it might be one of the strong suits for the Buffalo Bills.
It somehow got worse, John, and that's the big head scratcher. George Edwards had been the defensive coordinator. people are listening to the radio right now and holding back laughter at that idea, and they replaced him with Dave Wannstedt, and there are now more listeners of the Finnsiders laughing louder now that the Bills are banking on these two former Dolphins rejects. But, you know, Wannstedt's reputation is Wannstedt's reputation. And as a defensive coordinator, the belief was that you give him reins and allow him to coach guys like Mario Williams and Mark Anderson, who tied for the team lead with the Patriots last year with 10 sacks, and they draft a cornerback in the first round who's a hit. He's starting for the team, and you have Nick Barnett at linebacker and a Pro Bowler at one defensive tackle and a third overall pick at the other defensive tackle, and it has been a mess. And they've given up the most points in the NFL, averaging 32 points allowed a game. And if this keeps up, it'll be an NFL record. So everybody is baffled by this, and there's really no way to look at it and say, okay, this is the obvious issue. It's an injury here or a schematic thing. I think that maybe there are some guys on the roster who aren't as good as people thought they were and maybe don't have a passion for the game as much as the Bills had hoped when they were drafted. So, you know, you're starting to learn some more about these guys as individuals.
Tim, I'm going to slide two questions in here for you real quick. Number one, can you help us understand how the Buffalo Bills actually score their points? I'm looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he is dead last when it comes to, like, long pass plays that are successful going for big play touchdowns. He is dead last. And then I've always remembered the Buffalo Bills fan base just being diehard, always supporting their team. Is that support still there?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. The support is waning, and the fans are just frustrated with the fact that the Bills have the NFL's longest active playoff drought going. It's going to hit 13 years this year. They're technically not out of it, but, I mean, you could look at them and watch them play, and you can say that they're out of it. And I'm not saying that they're quitters, but they've gotten to a point in the season. They're playing okay, but the losses are just piling up, and they're going to have to run the table to have a sniff at the playoffs. And even though they have teams like Jacksonville and St. Louis, and a lot of people counted Miami as a couple of free wins because the Dolphins were going to be in rebuilding mode. And while that's not the case anymore, and the Colts aren't in rebuilding mode either with Andrew Luck, and the Rams aren't the Rams anymore. And, you know, so it's looking tough. And I think that the fans have been, even after the Mario Williams and the Mark Anderson signings and Vince Young coming in when he was here, they didn't get excited because they still need proof. You know, they want to see it on the field. And as for how the Bills score their points, it's Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, his numbers, if you just look at his stat line, his generic quarterback stat line, it looks okay. But a lot of it is after the catch, screen passes, a lot of bubble screens, quick slants. It's all about yards after the catch, setting up the run. So C.J. Spiller can loosen up a defense. Even though Fitzpatrick doesn't stretch the field, they're still able to do some things underneath that allow them to get points. And their line is good. They keep defenses off of Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's a quick pass offense. Cameron Wake's going to have trouble getting some pressure this week just because of the way the Bills' offense is set up. But I still think that, you know, the Dolphins, their defense is going to be a tough challenge for the Bills on Thursday night.
Tim Graham of the Buffalo News with us on the Metro PCS Hotline. Fred Jackson out with a concussion. That means more C.J. Spiller, obviously. What else does it mean for the offense, though?
Well, it may not mean much. I mean, it depends on how Chan Gailey decides he's going to handle C.J. Spiller. If he's going to still limit his touches, which has been a frustration of all frustrations here in Western New York, C.J. Spiller had only 6 carries 2 weeks ago in Houston. He had 9 carries in New England, and the guy leads the NFL with a 7.3-yard average, which is unheard of since Jim Brown in the 1960s at this stage of the season. But he just doesn't get as many touches. Now, so if Fred Jackson comes out, and which he is, he's not going to play this week, but if C.J. Spiller goes in there and just takes all the carries and can do, he's that versatile. He's a good blocker. There's really no drop-off, a huge drop-off in terms of, you know, pass protection if he's called upon to do that. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do all the things that Fred Jackson can. The difference is just that Fred Jackson's more of a bruising runner and C.J. Spiller is lightning fast.
Yeah.
So if he stays in there and the Bills just decide to, okay, we're just going to give him all the touches, I don't think it's going to affect the offense that much. But if Chan Gailey insists, like he did earlier in the year when Fred Jackson was out, and to give Tashard Choice some carries, maybe some goal line carries, then I think, you know, that really does hurt the offense because of the versatility. Tashard Choice, is it okay for a second or third string running back? But C.J. Spiller is a weapon and maybe one of the best players in the NFL right now. And Thursday night could be a coming out party for him for the rest of the country.
Yeah, it seems like keeping track of C.J. Spiller's snap count tomorrow would be an interesting study and an interesting thing to do. Tim Graham does a great job covering the Bills. Back on the beat for the Buffalo News. Tim, really appreciate it and enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.